Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Oh no, it's a spoiler. That's a spoiler warning, by the way.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg, you're gonna fuck it in chicken. You're gonna put a little cornstarch in my werewolf, man. Luigi Mario!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamo-rama, a podcast where each week we watch something that John Leguizamo's been in because he's a bloody legend and we knew about it way before you guys did. So that makes us pretty cool too. My name's Mish Wittrup, and you might know me from having a brand new best friend, which I'll talk about in a little bit.
Oh, wow.
And I'm joined, as always, by my very funny friend, Zachary Ruane, who you might know from...
As you may know as the boy who's intrigued about Mish's new friend. What's this about?
I do. Zach, this might come as a bit of a shock to you, but you also have a brand new best friend.
I see what you've done there.
Yeah, that's right.
I see what you've done there. Are we talking about John Leguizamo?
We're talking about John Leguizamo, which is a first for this podcast. So basically, to any of you guys that follow us on Instagram, at Mission Zach,
give us a follow. I'm one of them. I'm one of the people that follow you on Instagram.
Same. So Zach posted a little question to John Leguizamo regarding his brand new film, which is called Critical Thinking, which has recently been released in America. But we here in Australia, we ain't getting none of that good stuff yet. So Zach, he just posted straight to Instagram. So brave, Zach, so brave.
Well, because here's the thing, right? I get DMs on my account, and even at like my personal account level, there's a certain number where it just starts being like, you're not reading the DMs. It's too many DMs. You're not reading them. And you're not really reading stories, but demonstrably, I don't, but demonstrably, John Leguizamo scrolls through everything he's tagged in, gives it a like, gives it a response, gives it a share.
He's what a guy.
Really great guy. He just like...
Honestly, that's so lovely.
I think he makes a practice to sit down, roll either him or his social media person. I think it's him. He just sits down every day with his phone, and he just scrolls through everyone that's tagged him, you know, and it's quite a few, and he'll just give it a response. And I thought, well, I want to know when this is coming out. Yeah. Who do I reach out to? Who do I know that knows when and if this is coming out in Australia? And I thought, well, John Leguizamo, he's the person that knows the answer to that question.
Exactly.
But how do I reach him?
Well, the only way we know how that isn't illegal, which is Instagram. So Zach posted on Instagram, John Leguizamo, do you think you could please let us know when your film is going to have a release in Australia?
Yeah.
And who fucking responded? It was John. John replied to your Instagram, Zach. I nearly shat my panties.
I'm so sorry. Was that John Leguizamo?
That was John Leguizamo. You know this.
I'm being a silly
head. Now, the first time he shared one... No, the first time he liked one of our posts, I shat my pants.
You did.
The first time he shared. Yeah, the first time he shared one of the posts.
If you think Mish is using metaphor here, she's not. She literally shat her underpants.
My underpants were full of shit.
I was like, oh, Mish. We were in a room together. I think it was like maybe stage two. And I was like, oh, Mish, I think John Leguizamo shared something. And then I was like, oh, what's that smell? Oh,
Mish, you shut your pants again.
You've done poos in your pants. You got to stop doing that when you're excited.
Anyway, basically, when I woke up this morning and John Leguizamo had replied to our Instagram post, I shat my pants again. Basically, I'm so excited that I would now classify John Leguizamo as our friend. He doesn't follow us yet. That's the next goal for me, is that he starts to follow us. Because if he starts following us, we can then DM him and he doesn't get a DM request. He just gets an instant message.
Just gets a straight up
And
DM.
We could just absolutely flood him.
With like, what?
We love you!
What'd you think of this movie?
Yeah.
Hey, you were really good. Hey, John, you were really good in this movie from 1994. And he'll be like, thanks. And
hey,
we'll
John,
just chat.
When's the next Ice Age coming out?
He'll be like, John, hey, probably next week. Probably isn't, because since the Disney acquisition of Fox, we'll be like, all right.
Oh, yeah, sorry to bring that up.
Sorry, man. So hey, John, you're really good at acting. John.
But still, it was very cool. And we really appreciated all the people that alerted us to his message as well. Thank you to everyone out there that's obviously also a John Leguizamo fan that is, you know, keeping an eye out on his socials for us to see when he shares our stuff. It's all very exciting.
You're are you like legitimately where are you at legitimately?
I think it's kind of cool.
I think it's cool as well. Like, that's where I'm at.
The shitting of my pants isn't because I'm like so fucking excited and bowled over. I have an issue. And I just shit my pants sometimes.
It's the fact that you're not eating enough fiber. That's really
I don't have enough fiber in my diet.
You need some Metamucil.
Yeah, 100%. But so yeah, that's why I shat my pants. No, I just think it's kind of cool.
I think it's very fun. It's very cool.
John has a very specific kind of social media presence where he is very, very kind of like in touch with the people that follow him and tag him and stuff. So no, I wasn't completely surprised, but it was still very nice. Dude, Tybalt messaged us. Chi-Chi from Tu Wong Fu messaged us.
It's this amazing thing where, like, I think anyone who's stuck with us, all four of you that have stuck with this podcast from the start, you've seen us go on this journey of like, we're doing this, to like, oh no, John Leguizamo is actually listening, to then like maybe 2 months of just like vicious self-editing of like, but it was good. I mean, it was good if he was involved. I don't know how involved he was. To now, I think I've come to this place of zen of like, I'm glad that there's the slightest chance John Leguizamo is listening because it's made me step away from being a negative Nancy. It's made me step away from going like, ha ha ha, this is different and from a different time. And it's made me go, I will watch this. I will watch this as a person's work. I'll watch this as a person's project. And I will engage with it. And yes, sometimes it's a little racist. And yes, sometimes it's a little sexist. And yes, sometimes it's a little poorly written. And one can guess that John Leguizamo only did it for the paycheck. Yeah. But I'm not coming at it from this like, oh, that sucked. I'm coming at it from like, yeah.
Mate, if we were coming at it from a spot of like, we are going to absolutely tear this apart because there was a mild amount of racism or a mild amount of sexism, there is no way we could have gotten through a 45-minute episode of Miami Vice.
How good was Miami Vice? Oh, I don't want to, let's just jump in. I'm gonna read out the description of Miami Vice, which I wrote like 3 weeks ago. I'm that organized.
For those of you who might believe that Zach wrote this 3 weeks ago, we logged onto the Zoom call to do the podcast and Zach was writing.
No, that implies like I was like leaving it to the last minute. I came on, we chatted for a bit, Mish threw out some stuff. I was like, that's really cool that John responded to that message of mine. Do you want to get into it? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, oh no. Oh no.
He forgot.
And then I took a little minute. But you know what I'm really proud of, Mish, is I was like, maybe I can make the joke that I just copy pasted it from Wikipedia. And I'll be honest, I did. But I'm really proud of in that 3 minutes where we paused the Zoom, I went to multiple sources. This is from I think 2 sources. And I feel like I added a little bit of my own je ne sais quoi. So, you know, this was written in a rush, but I think What I would say is that I've been doing a lot of upskilling by doing this podcast. That's good. You know, I'm better at like syncing the audio of Zoom things recorded.
You're really good
in
GarageBand.
I'm better at it than I ever thought I would be. I'm better at like getting John Leguizamo to engage on social media.
Yeah, that's all you, baby. I didn't have anything to do with that. I just shat my pants after.
You've done a lot of great stuff. You've been engaging with him. You were the one that tagged him first. I was never going to tag him, but you tagged him and that started us on this beautiful journey.
I'd also like to say that while we did have the Zoom pause so Zach could write his blurb, I watched a total of 3 trailers for John Leguizamo films from the year 2002.
Did you really?
I'm trying to figure out the next few episodes that we're going to do. So, and also just to call out to our listeners, if there's anything kind of niche that John Leguizamo's done that you would like us to watch, right. Not The Pest. Stop asking us to do The Pest. If you want to know why we're not doing The Pest just yet, please listen back to previous episodes where we explain why we don't think that's a great idea yet.
Or just watch The Pest in our Lord's Year 2020.
Yeah, if you want to watch The Pest, then I think you'll understand why two people...
It's just a little tough.
It's a little tough.
We don't know how to tack. We don't know how to unpack it yet. Because we don't want to
something...
go against the great writing of John, because he's great. How good's John Leguizamo?
We love him. But no, if there's something a bit niche that you'd like to hear us talk about, we've gotten the Moulin Rouge requests. We've gotten the Romeo and Juliet requests. They're coming, guys. But let us know if there's like a tiny little niche-ish project that he's done, like Miami Vice, which we are now doing this week.
That was such a good segue. But before that segue, you've opened up a can of worms. Because I was going to say, like stop asking us to do Chef. We're going to do Chef. We're like sprinkling the big ones through so that we don't do them all. And then people understand this. We've explained it. But I just realized, do you remember Up Late with Hot Dogs? Do you remember the show Up Late?
Of course I do.
So I feel that is one to explain to the listener.
If but you tell me that John Leguizamo was on an episode of Up Late with Hot Dogs, I will shit my pants.
I know you will. No, this has got nothing to do with John Leguizamo. I remember something that really frustrated me about Up Late with Hot Dogs, which was like a late night television game show for anyone listening. Hot Dogs was from Big Brother. His nickname was Hot Dogs. He was like a sexy, cool, fun guy from Big Brother, but his nickname was Hot Dogs. And he would like go on Up Late with Hot Dogs and he'd say, hey, here's the question. Call in. Costs $2 to call in. We want to hear your answer. And then they wouldn't take the call for like 2 hours because they wanted as many people to spend their $1. And then people realized that I was always like, how does no one not know the answer to this? And then I realized this is all like a scam. This show is a scam. They want people to call in, pay their dollar, and then they're going to wait as long as possible before they get someone on the line to say the answer. It was a really amoral show, and I think it may have even got taken off air because it was...
Is that fact?
Yeah. Pretty confident that that's fact.
Oh, my God. That has blown my mind. I mean, of course that's what it was, but it never... I remember watching it being like, these dumb cunts don't know shit.
And
being like, if only I had a dollar. I had like negative $25 in my account during this time. If only I had a dollar, I'd call in and I'd win that $500.
Hot Dogs is like the television equivalent of like a carny with like one of those ball games that you can't win. That's what he was doing. Hot Dogs is a fraudster and a cheat, and you can quote me on that.
Oh my God, that's so fun. Also, you previously described him as sexy and cool and fun. No one I know would describe Hot Dogs as sexy or cool or fun at all.
Yeah, surely someone did.
No, I liked Vesna a lot. That was in his season of Big Brother.
Who was
Vesna? Vesna was a Victorian hairdresser that went in. She was great. Does anyone remember Vesna?
Anyone out there, call in if you remember Vesna.
Vesna, it only cost a dollar. Call in if you remember who Vesna is.
We want to know if you remember Vesna.
Who doesn't remember Vesna? Just very quickly.
Oh, yeah, please.
This isn't a TV scam, but this is like a cool little bit of tidbit about television or whatever. I was a big Jersey Shore fan.
Yeah.
before they all became really, really rich and just started wanting to brand themselves, and they just all they were these young kids in their 20s wanting to have fun on the Jersey Shore boardwalk.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with the show. And I recently found out that Louis Vuitton would send the Jersey Shore cast Gucci stuff.
Wow.
So that they would then use the Gucci stuff and Louis Vuitton wouldn't look trashy. Isn't that interesting? It might have been the other way around. It might have been Gucci was sending them Louis Vuitton, but I think it was Louis Vuitton.
Because they wore designer thing. That is yeah.
And
phenomenal.
So they would have Snooki. Snooki would be down on the beach really drunk with her vagina out and stuff and screaming. And she would be holding this giant, giant Gucci bag that Louis Vuitton would have sent to her.
That is so good.
So that she wouldn't be drunk with her vag out
that
on
is
a beach
the smartest
with, a,
thing
with
I've
Louis
ever
Vuitton
heard.
Get up. Isn't that interesting?
So I feel a certain burden to wrap this up and bring it back because I did divert over to hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to say is I'm going to say three things. I'm going to talk to that. I'm going to say that's super interesting. Do we have any final thoughts on the sort of that whole thing, that conspiracy?
I have nothing else to say.
That's a fantastic one. I'm going to say the reason I brought up hot dogs, because I reckon some people are like, why do you bring up hot dogs? Is I feel like hot dogs. I feel like we're holding off the phone call with the answer, the metaphorical phone call that is the answer, and that is our Moulin Rouges and our chefs. And I feel like we're teasing the Moulin Rouges. And I think that's cruel and it's wrong and I'm sorry. And I just want to apologize to our audience. Thirdly, we've done so much work on trying to find structure in this podcast. And it's tough because we just want to talk about one pot pasta. And then I had a realization as you were talking, as we went from Miami Vice introduction to how it was poorly written, or how it was quickly written, to the skills I've gained, to the fact that you are planning the next few weeks of this podcast, to if anyone had any recommendations but keep them niche, to the fact that we're going to get to the big ones, to the fact that I feel like, to hot dogs, from Big Brother and Up Late with Hot Dogs to Louis Vuitton sending the cast of Jersey Shore Gucci as sort of a reverse product placement.
Yeah.
I realized that maybe what we need to do is open the podcast with the description and then just let it happen. Just sort of go, rather than try to bring it back, go with like a dream play type structure. Where
I'm open to it.
Where our podcast has no ending, no plan, no need to call back. We start with, all right, today we're talking about Miami Vice. And if it goes down the path that is, look, I'm not proposing that for this one. I'm talking about next time, maybe in a few weeks. Let's test it.
Yep.
But if we start talking about Gucci and Gucci and Snooki and having a vagina out on the beach, neither of us both have the personality type, the neurological skills, or the training to bring it back. So let's stop trying and let's just go. Gucci on the beach is what this one's about. And you know what? Maybe we'll find ourselves back as we wander aimlessly through the forest that is an hour recording each week. Maybe we'll find ourselves back on the shores of Miami Vice.
Yeah.
That's my proposal. Something to think on. Would love to hear the listeners' thoughts.
I love what you're saying, but I really do want to talk about Miami Vice.
That's why you start with Miami Vice.
Yeah, I think that's clever.
It's Mission Zach. How you doing? Miami Vice.
Let's throw it back to our listeners. Would you prefer us to talk about Gucci and vaginas on a beach for 25 minutes before the podcast? Or would you like us to open with the intro and then talk about Gucci and vaginas on a beach?
We are going to talk about Gucci or one pot pasta or anything that flips into our minds for a moment. That will come up. When do you want us to do it? At the top and then desperately try to wrangle it back to the topic? Or do you just want a couple of minutes of topic and then we do what we do? We'd love to know your thoughts. We'd love you to just let us know. I think maybe we can, even when this comes out, we can do a story where we say, hey, if you've listened to the podcast, and we'll ask that question and then you can engage in that moment. I'll take a little note.
I love that idea.
Take a little note. Let's take that note. Okay, so.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's do Miami Vice now, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here we go. Specifically, Sons and Lovers.
Which I believe is the last episode of season two.
Absolutely. That was part of my description.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. But I'm not
going to edit it out. I'm such a controlling bitch. Please continue.
All right. Sons and Lovers is the 22nd episode and season finale of Miami Vice's second season. It premiered on May 9th, 1986 and was rerun on September 9, 1986, the final rerun of the second season. The episode continues the saga of the Calderon family. In it, Angelina, an ex-lover of Tubbs, I think, returns to save Tubbs, one of the main characters, I think, from her vengeful half-brother, Orlando Calderon, the son of a big bad guy that I think Tubbs killed, I think, and to show him a surprise. That surprise is a baby, his baby. He adjusts real quick to having a family, then Calderon kidnaps Angelina and the baby, and then shit gets really dark, thematically dark. Aesthetically, the show remains very bright and pastel-y. Orlando Calderone is portrayed by Jonathan Alberto Leguizamo, born July 22, 1964, a Colombian-American comedian, actor, producer, and director who made his TV debut in this very episode.
Very well done, Zach.
Thank you so much.
Very good.
As I read it, there was a little bit maybe more of a copy-paste feel than I had anticipated, but I was pretty happy with it.
So I think it's definitely worth mentioning that with a series like Waco, yes, John Leguizamo was only in 50% of that series, but we chose to watch the entire thing, which was six episodes, because it was an excellent series, really easy to watch while we're in stage four lockdown here in Melbourne, Victoria. Miami Vice has like 400 seasons.
It does.
25 episodes per season thereabouts. So Zach and I made the decision to not watch any previous episodes of Miami Vice and to just launch in with this episode, which is why neither of us are very, very sure of anything.
I just wish for me personally, I wish that when it came to... Because Miami Vice, I'm guessing, was not serialized. I'm guessing it was an episodic thing where each episode was largely a different crime, a different vice.
It's very much like an 80s NCIS.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there is a bit of a running thread is what I gathered. And I just wish as we were watching this episode, I was a little bit confused. I'm like, who's this? What's their past history? I wish there was from time to time just lengthy music video like montages recapping entire seasons worth of stories.
Oh. Well, that being said, Zach, how lucky were you that in a 45-minute episode, they had a total of two 4-minute montages recapped everything that happened. They were so full on. They used an entire song.
It was phenomenal. Oh. The first montage, I'm like, this is one where normally we say, don't, you know, watch it, you know, spoiler alert. This is one where if you're in Australia, it is still on Nine Now, which is a dot point for me to talk about. But Nine Now, what a blast. It is on Nine Now. It is worth checking out because it's those montages are so special. And what happens is there's a point where they kind of set up, all right, this is an old character, this is an old story. And I was like, oh no, there hasn't been like a previously on because this is like on a streaming service. How am I going to catch up? And then he's looking at a photo of this woman and he's like, don't look at that. You know, she's too much pain. And I was like, oh, very subtly we've established she's, maybe they'll have one more line to establish who she is and what the relationship is. Then it just slow zooms on his face and then slow zooms on the photo of her that's in a police file.
Yes.
It's a lovely photo of her painting a picture.
Yeah. On a beach, isn't she?
On a beach.
Yeah, she's just like, it's in a police file.
So slow
like
zoom.
A happy snap on a family holiday.
Is it
not even her police file?
No, it's not even her police file.
It's for someone else.
It's for her father that was a murdered. Yeah. So they slowly zoom in and then this like baller 80s love song just starts playing. And it's incredible. And like kudos to you, Miami Vice.
I Shazammed it. Hold on.
You are confident. You are confident in your aesthetic. I've never seen, and I will give it all the credit. Like, we're going to mock this show to no end, but it was confident.
It was, the song was After the Fire by Roger Daltrey.
Are you going to play a little bit?
I'll see if I can find it. Hold on.
That's so good. Oh.
Imagine two people, a man and a woman, both with perms, running down a beach together.
Because this is what happens, right? So it zooms in on the photo. It zooms in on the photo and then it emerges.
We're not paying for copyright for that, so I'm just going to stop.
No, that's... it emerges, then out of the photo, we go to a flashback of this man and this woman, Tubbs and Angeline on the beach, and we go, oh, they've got a history. And I'm like, this is really powerful. This beautiful music plays. And then she goes onto a boat, and then there's like, through visual storytelling, we go, oh, she's linked to someone that I think he has to investigate. And then it just literally becomes a silent previously on. Like, it's just like the music is playing. And then like, then it's just like, all right, so that's a guy and he has to kill him. And then there's like fully just a sequence with Don Johnson, just with a machine gun, spray killing every motherfucker in Miami to this music.
But then after Don Johnson, who, if anyone who doesn't know Don Johnson, he's just not Kevin Costner. Like, that's who he is. He wants it bad, but he ain't.
I reckon Kevin Costner is lucky Don Johnson. I reckon you got this the wrong way around.
Yeah, it's possible. But during Don Johnson, like, absolutely spraying the... just the vicinity, wherever he wanted to hit the bullet, he's just spraying bullets in the vicinity of that area. While he's doing that, they also fade in and out of like a hazy magenta border of two people with perms holding each other. Like, just naked holding each other, which is, of course, Tubbs and Angelina, who Zach mentioned previously in his blurb. And then just spraying of bullets. But then also maybe a palm tree. At one point as well, because they're in Miami.
They are in Miami, some art deco. It just was so beautiful. It was so perfect. I think, like, on a level, I'm like, this is ridiculous. And on another level, I was like, I give this all the points for my God.
Just the lack of self-awareness. They think it's great. Like, everything now in 2020 when people take the piss out of a montage, it is literally a Miami Vice montage.
Oh, man,
So that's what makes it so perfect is that it's the OG.
Yeah, it really is. I don't think I've ever seen, like, montages have become a parody of themselves. This is like, oh, this is a montage. And then I should say towards the end, you know, some bad shit goes down. Yeah. We do the spoiler alerts. Angeline does die somewhat because of a mistake. He had it under control. And she dies sort of because she's in a car tied to a bomb. John Leguizamo blows up the car. She dies. Everything's very sad.
When she, just while we're on it really quickly, when she dies, Tubbs is mildly miffed.
he's pretty thrown. Well, I think he's very sad, but he's a cool 80s man, so he has to handle it in a different way.
Of course. We'll go back to that, as you were saying about the montages. I'll just say really quickly the final montage that Zach's about to talk about, the song that was playing under this. So this is the end of season two. Perfection is Long, Long Way to Go by Phil Collins, which...
Oh.
Ooh. Oh, bitch.
So pure, beautiful, powerful. Unfortunately, they weren't able to get an extra day of shooting in the budget, so they did just use footage that we had seen in the last 45 minutes for that montage. Him, like, remember, and it's just like, and I was like, I think you're going to go harder on this show than I am, because I legitimately loved it.
Oh, I'm obsessed with it.
Oh, great. Fantastic. Because I loved it.
I will watch more. So, spoiler alert, John Leguizamo is actually in two episodes of Miami Vice. He's in one in season two, and then his character escapes them, and he comes back in season three. We don't know what happens yet, but just fucking wait for it, because we will do another episode, and I'm so fucking excited.
Don't you worry about that.
I'm obsessed with Miami Vice.
It's so good. And I was like, I'm not even laughing. I think, like, most of what's not good about this is, like, the limitations of episodic television in the 80s. Like, most of what's not good about... And, like, obviously, like, the moral complexity of cop procedurals. Those are the two things that aren't good about it. Everyone was like, the 80s stuff would be bad about it. The stylistic choices. Those are all, like, baller and great. And I love them. And they're perfect. Unfortunately, they only have 7 days to shoot, and that is everything that's wrong with it.
Yep.
That being said, I never laughed at the 80s because I loved the aesthetic. That being said, Tubbs sees the woman he loves, the mother of his child, die, explode in a car at the hand of her evil half-brother. Luckily, Don Johnson was in the back of his car with a machine gun to spray... spray bullets off people. So they were able to deal with the situation by killing everyone.
Like professional cops.
By killing everyone.
Yeah, by spraying bullets in the general vicinity of where the bad guy was while wearing a very full-on brightly colored blazer with just, big shoulder pads.
Just beautiful. So he was
also looking really sexy and cool.
He was feeling it, right?
Yeah.
And I have to say, everything I've said, I did laugh when I actually laughed at the aesthetic, at the choice, when the Phil Collins music started. Mm-hmm. It panned up on Tubbs.
Yeah.
The man who had just lost the love of his life.
Very quickly, while you're doing
it. Are you going to play the music to evoke it?
Yes, so describe... We're not going to get sued for this, are we? Phil's not going to sue us.
Who's listening to our podcast?
I don't fucking know.
Thank you, Phil Collins. So his music is playing, and I think maybe there's a shot of the photo of her, and it's like, wow, this is really powerful. This is pain. This is anguish. And the camera pans up, and Tubbs is wearing the most, like... motherfucker, like, what the fuck are those sunglasses? He's literally just sitting there, no emotion, wearing just the coolest, like, sunglasses I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, this show is a bit silly.
Oh, it was so dumb. So, yeah, like, Zach set the scene very, very well. Car, with the love of his life, explodes. She didn't get away. She dead.
She's
like,
dead.
There's no, like, oh, maybe. No, she dead. And the pan onto his face... It's all music playing, so you can't hear what he's thinking or saying, obviously. But if there was no music, literally, the expression on his face indicated to me that what he would have been saying in the moment he watches the love of his life explode to death is, oh, no. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That level of anguish. Oh, oh no. Oh,
man.
And to add to it, which made it so fucking beautiful, is Tubbs is like standing at the ocean, you know, shore, and he's looking out at the ocean thinking about his dead girlfriend who died like minutes ago, maybe 10 minutes ago. And Don Johnson, who is not Kevin Costner, who's obviously like his partner, we're guessing. They're the two like main... They're the two main characters. Goes over to Tubbs to comfort him after 10 minutes after the love of his life has just gone up in flames. And he goes to him. This is a best mate comforting a best mate who's just watched his girlfriend die. I'm here for you if you need me. Tell you what, let's make a deal. I'll go write this thing up at the station and then we'll go get some breakfast or whatever.
That's real men, Mish. That's how real men talk.
Yeah. Another thing I love that we've touched on previously as well is in terms of the aesthetic of this film, TV series, which is so great. Clearly all the actors in it, we'll go with the male actors because there's not a hell of a lot of female representation in this film, but in this TV series, but the actors have clearly been told that no matter what happens, you must remain sexy and cool.
Oh, yeah.
Under all circumstances, you are sexy and you are cool. And Angelina, who is the female representation in this episode, she's clearly been told you are to be sexy and you must cater to his coolness. under no circumstance are you to get ugly when you're sad.
No, absolutely. Everyone is sexy. And there is like, absolutely about representation. It's a very male-dominated show. But there is sort of an equal opportunity, no one's allowed to not be sexy kind of in this. Everyone is very sexy all the time.
All the time.
And unlike, say, a CSI Miami, they are sexy a lot of the time. Everyone's really pulling off that pastel tones. There's one outfit that Don Johnson is wearing. So after he mentally manipulates someone who is under his... So after he basically does some stuff that is really bad policing, really, really bad policing, the next I'm like, oh, that's a bit... Oh, I feel uncomfortable about this scene. The next scene, he's wearing like a stripy top with like no sleeves and like a suspenders, and it looks really, really cool. And I was just like, fucking cool. He looks great, don't they all? And then they're in like an Art Deco building. Mm. It is such a vibe.
Such a vibe.
The whole show is such a vibe. It's like hard hitting dark. Dark, intense, angry, mean, masculine world, but it's all bright, pastel 80s. I thought it was just so good.
And absolutely delicious.
And a bit of a shame that when they remade it in 2006, they were like, don't worry, we're going to get rid of that, and it's just going to be angry... Colin Farrell.
I've not seen the remake. It didn't really appeal to me.
I didn't watch it either. I'm just...
Yeah, that didn't really do it for me. I have a question for you though, Zach.
I love a question.
And you touched on this as well in your blurb. Your blurb covered everything, which is beautiful.
Thank you.
We're proud of you.
Don't thank me. Thank the Miami Vice wiki.
We'll do. Oh yeah, guys, if you are big Miami Vice fans... Or if you have, we have made you want to go watch Miami Vice. If you go to miamivice.fandom.com, there's a whole website dedicated to like the intricate details of Miami Vice. Just so you know, I spent a good 45 minutes on that website. Anyway, Zach, hypothetically, you bump into a girlfriend that you dated a year ago, right? And she says to you, I had your baby.
Yes. Yeah.
I had your child. That child is now a year old.
Yeah.
Or coming on to a year old, like 6 months, whatever. Yeah. I don't fucking know how old. They all look the same until they're about 12. I had your baby. What would your reaction be to that kind of news?
Like me personally?
You, Zach Ruane.
Zach Ruane. What I would do is I would sort of go, okay. And then within maybe a few hours, I would... take on the child as my own and the woman as my wife. And then when Don Johnson talks to me in a scene later in my day and goes do you think she might be trying to mess with you? And I go, I would go, I looked into that baby's eyes and it's mine. It's my baby. And then Don Johnson would go, congratulations, dad, is how I would react personally.
Yeah, that makes sense because that's exactly how Tubbs reacted when Angelina told him, I had your son. He had no questions. He was just like, oh, what? And then he looked at the baby, like, while staying very, very cool.
Very cool.
And very much like, I'm a cop. And he was very cool. Looked at the baby. And then the next cutscene was just him just being like, I have a family now and I'm taking this on. It's like, she left you. She ran away and left you. She's come back and said, I have a baby that is 6 months old. This baby is an established human being. And you are just, there was no questions asked. It was so strange. It was so strange. I have some audio from that scene as well, actually. Do you want to break out that?
I love that. Yes, please do. Please do.
Because, again, this touches on, clearly the director has told all the actors that no matter what you do, don't get uncool. So they're all incredibly mild-mannered, which is really nice in certain senses, I suppose. But
it's the sort of thing that Fincher does. It's Michael Mann executive produced it. If I'm going to be a little film nerd for a second, it's the sort of aesthetic that is really cool. This idea of like kind of cold, emotionless, everything's visually striking, but contrasting with the tone of what's going on, and no one's really doing a lot of emoting. Mm. But what I would
it
say
justifies
is...
justifies the amount of fucking that is often in a lot of these things.
Absolutely.
It's like, you abandoned me. Yes, you had my child and didn't tell me. Yes, you're now offering me money to fuck off. But we're both so cool that we could just fuck right now it'll be justified.
Let's definitely do some fucks and then let's get to how we're going to deal with Leguizamo trying to kill us both. But first 100%. Some fucks because we're very sexy people and we're very cool. So we'll do some fucks.
And you can kind of, you can hear it in the tone of their voices. Listen to this.
Why didn't you tell me?
That is drama.
Oh, man, it's so good. It's so like, I think...
He came to kill you, and you are the father of my child. Zachary, I have come here today to tell you that you are the father of my child. I left you. I know that probably hurt you a lot, but I'm here now, and look at me, and your son, and look how pretty and cool I am. And for some reason, my breasts are out.
I can't believe I'm a father. That's amazing. But I'm a cop first, and I have to go and kill John Leguizamo.
But before he kills, you kill him, he'll kill you. Please take this suitcase of money and look at my breasts before you leave.
Don't you understand? I'm a cop. I gotta do what I gotta do. Not to mention the fact that he keeps being like, no, I can't take your money and run away. I've got to solve this crime. It's like, there's too much conflict of interest. They would not assign you to this case.
Yeah. when she goes missing, so then she goes missing and he's clearly having a very cool emotional reaction to the situation. He then is sent to be the one to get her.
But not only that like that's sort of makes sense because he's the one they're calling, but he's like in the room with the whiteboard, like making the plan. They're like, what are we going to do? And then Don Johnson's like, come on, man, you just got to focus on the case. And it's like, that's his wife and child.
No, but then at one point, Kevin Costner says to him, maybe you shouldn't be doing this, Tubbs. And Tubbs was just like, that's my woman and my son. That's my family. And he's like, fair enough. It's like, that is the exact reason that's why you
exactly
shouldn't be on this case, Tubbs.
Tubbs,
that's
you
the
should,
exact reason.
You should just go to the safe house and chill out, man. It's the sort of thing of like all these vibes. This is what I was sort of coming back to, like why I loved the show and any criticism was the fault, not of the show, but of the form. Because I was sort of saying like Michael Mann does this kind of thing. David Fincher does this kind of thing. Kubrick kind of does this like cold, masculine thing. All of them, and I mean all of them, are famous for needing a lot of takes. They have very big budgets because their shoots go for really, really long because it's like, it's precision perfect. If you want someone to see their wife or their girlfriend die in an explosion and give nothing, you have to do 50 to 100 takes to get the perfect kind of nothing that implies they're holding it all in. If you've got a 7-day network TV shooting schedule, it can sometimes come off, I would argue, a little silly.
Oh, I'd say so. So let's just say, like, last week we did John Wick.
John Wick, yes.
When the Russian mobster finds out that his son stole John Wick's car and killed John Wick's dog, there is silence and the Russian mobster just goes, oh. And there is so much weight in that. And it's just like, oh, fuck, you feel it in your gut. You're just like, oh, God, this is it. Shit is going down just from that one. Oh, can you imagine if was playing while he said, oh, and then there was a slow fade into his face and then a slow fade out to a montage of him and John Wick. A montage of what just happened with him, with his son killing the dog, but with Phil Collins in the background going, and it's a long, long way, with like synth.
But what I would argue, what I would argue, Mish, is if the makers of John Wick, you got the same directors as John Wick, you got the same cast, you got everyone involved in John Wick, and you said you have 43 minutes exactly to tell this story. You have 43 minutes exactly to tell this story. You have like made a much smaller budget and you have seven days to shoot it. I would argue the result would be comparably naff. I got the feeling that everyone involved in this production, if they had more money, if they made this show for Netflix now, it would be the coolest show on television.
Oh, I'm obsessed with it. I will watch more. That isn't a joke. Like, I will genuinely watch more Miami Vice. I will say really quickly before we talk about John Leguizamo.
Oh, yes, we will talk about John Leguizamo.
We'll get to John.
I've got one point as well.
There was just one point I wanted to make about, I've mentioned previously that my favourite kind of film is a horny early 90s thriller. I stand by it. I do. But upon watching Miami Vice, I realised it might not just be like horny 90s thriller. I think I just like horny stuff.
Yeah, I think you're just a horny gal.
I'm just horny. No, there's a very different kind of horny with 80s horny. And I had the same kind of reaction to 80s horny crime TV shows as I do to early 90s crime horny thrillers. I think I just like horny stuff.
I think you're
horny.
I think
stuff
you're
with men in baggy pants.
I think you're a horny gal. I also think, there's something about, like, there's something so funny in the age of pornography, watching anything that's horny that's not porn, that's just like, oh, isn't this hot what we're allowed to show you at 8:30?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't 100%. This the sexiest thing that we can show you? It's like, yeah, it's pretty sexy.
It's the equivalent of like a 2020 side tit that you might get. You might get a bit of side boob in something. In the 80s, you got cool cops that with machine guns and shoulder pads and perms.
Machine guns are so cool. That's a great like one point. I have one point before we go on to talk about Leguizamo. And it sort of pertains to the whole kind of thing that I'm saying, which is I believe this is very cool. It has this like knowingness. I think the truly great things, the difference between something that's dated versus something that is like that is dated versus something that's timeless or a time capsule. I'll talk about this a lot when we get to Romeo and Juliet. Oh boy. Is I think there's a knowingness. This feels like it's set in the 80s, even though it was made in the 80s. This is more 80s than Stranger Things. Do you know what
absolutely.
I'm saying? Like, this is
absolutely
like so good in its aesthetic.
Yes.
I love the show. The film making is really good. I think a lot of the actors are really good. Like, Don Johnson has been used by Quentin Tarantino and stuff. Like, great actors. And I think nothing like fights for my thesis that the issue is budget, time, and the specific restraints of television in the 80s than The Small Hats. I'd like to talk about The Small Hats in the opening.
Yes.
In the opening sequence. Do you know exactly what I'm talking about?
They had little tiny hats.
There's a big fat man with a little tiny hat. So there's this awesome scene where they're like, there's like these cops are undercover, even though they're like, they do it every week. So surely the underworld of Miami have worked out which two people are the undercover cops, but whatever, we're not going to go there. So yeah, they're undercover and they're doing an undercover deal with a bunch of Latinx criminals. And they're like, oh, could this blonde man with short neat hair be an undercover cop? Nah, he seems legit. And they invite him in, and he's wearing, you know, his dress shoes with no socks. He's wearing his pastel jacket. He's looking real cool. Tubbs is wearing his suit. He's looking real cool. Everything is perfect. I'm like, this has a better aesthetic than I was gonna give it credit for. This is very, very cool. Cut to a fat man with a tiny hat. And he's like on the radio, he's like, over and out. What are you doing in there? And then he's got another man sitting behind him, a skinny man with a hat backwards. And the hats are too small. And it's the funniest thing I've ever seen, because
like that even now, in 2020, like I'm not going to say where I live, but like northern suburbs of Melbourne, The 80s fashion is quite like...
It's back.
It's back. And you'd see people walking down the street with big stripy shirts and suspenders. But at no point has anyone accepted back those little hats. Like, we'll take back the shoulder pads. We'll take back the vests. We'll take back the suspenders and baggy pants. I am not taking back that little hat. Even hipsters, even 22-year-old hipsters who are trying to find themselves, aren't taking back those little hats.
But this is the thing, right? I think like little kind of baseball caps were kind of in fashion. I don't believe that was a stylistic choice. I believe they got to set on the day. It was day 3 of 7. They got to set and the costume lady was like, all right, I've got your hat. They were like, the director was like, oh, weren't they meant to have hats? And then the costume lady was like, oh, yeah, I got the hats. And she went to the box and she put the hat on and the hats are too little. And the director was just like, oh, I really wanted hats. And she's like, well, I can run down to the shops and buy bigger hats. I mean, we're near the shops.
We don't have time.
And they're like,
we don't have time, Maureen.
And then the first AD was like, yeah, we really got to shoot. Do you want to strike the hats? And the director was like, no, I don't think you can really tell. And he was looking at the monitor, although maybe they didn't have monitors then. He was looking at something. He's like, I don't think you could really tell. And here I am, 33 years later. I took a screenshot. I'm here to tell you, those hats were too little. They were too little.
Oh, so they weren't little because they were 80s hats. They were little because the costume department didn't do a very good job.
I'm gonna show you my photo of the little hat. I don't go back very often. You know this about me. When we talk about things, you will go back and rewatch scenes. You'll record them. I feel that's a trap. If I do that, I'm gonna do it every minute. So I just have almost a blanket rule that I don't go back unless I miss a key piece of information. I keep rolling through. I went back, I think, 4 times. I'll show you. I've got this screenshot, so I'll put it on like something for listeners to see. If you want to see the little hat,
follow at Mission Jack. Mission Jack.
Mission Jack. Mission Jack. Follow.
Follow at Mission Zach if you want to see the little hat.
But I'm gonna show Mish the little hat now, and then we're gonna move on because I really...
We really do need to.
Yeah, but you got to see the little hat, man.
I want. Yeah, we're going to see the little hat.
But then
we have to move on.
You got to see the little hat, because I went back 4 times. I was like, I was just watching this show. I was watching this show. I'm like, man, that cunt's hat is little.
show me now.
I'm showing you. Oh, my God. All right. Look at this guy's little hat.
Oh, that's a little hat.
It's sitting atop his head. It's not even sitting around or on his head, but atop his head.
It is a little hat, guys. I wish you could see what I can see.
We're going to post the little hat screenshot.
Post the little hat.
I made sure when I got the screenshot.
Little hat.
So I watched it a couple of times. I was like, I gotta get a photo of this little hat. And then I took a photo and it didn't quite work. And then I was like, I know what I'll do. I'll go back. I'll do a screenshot of the little hat.
No, you didn't have a blurb ready, but you sure as hell had photos of the little hat.
Well, what I did is I did a screenshot. Then I got the screenshot. And then I kept watching. I'm like, hold on a second. I didn't get the 9 Now logo in my screenshot.
Oh, God.
So I went back and I got the 9 Now logo. We don't have
to talk really
about 9 Now. We can talk
I'm
about
so, it. So happy that we've covered the little hat. But before we finish up, which we really do need to do, I just want to touch on the John Leguizamo aspect of this episode.
Fair. He didn't have a little hat.
No, he didn't have a little giant jacket.
Very huge, big jacket.
Big, big blazer. No little hat. So John Leguizamo was 22 years old. This was his TV debut.
Wow.
He had previously been an extra in a music video. Look it up because we will do an episode on it. But this was his first thing. And holy shit, what a first thing to get.
Yeah.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
And it's baby Leguizamo with a big jacket and a big gun.
It's like they knew that Leguizamo would become more famous and they were like, let's put him in a big jacket to make him look more baby Leguizamo.
Yeah.
Also, it's maybe because it was the fashion at the time.
Yeah, possibly. And he plays a baddie. Have we watched anything where John Leguizamo has been the baddie yet?
Except, well, the horny thriller. He wasn't the baddie, but he was like...
He wasn't a baddie. He was just horny.
He was just a horny...
Who hogtied his therapist.
Yeah, he was a horny, like borderline serial killer. But he was like, he didn't kill the characters in the movie, so he was a red herring. The real baddie was Alan Alda from MASH. No, I don't
spoiler
think we
alert.
Have seen him... yeah, spoiler alert, if you're intending to finally getting around to watching
Whispers
in the Dark starring Anthony LaPaglia. Oh man, it was on my list.
Such a good film.
I think it was the first time I've seen him play a baddie, a proper baddie.
Yeah. And it was just so great going into it knowing it was his TV debut, just thinking what John would have been going through then and wishing I could go back to 1986 well before my parents conceived me, going back to 1986 and telling John, one day you'll look back at this and be like, that my blazer's fucking huge.
One day,
and
John,
wildly successful.
One day, John, you're gonna here you are, seventh billing. One day you're gonna be fifth, fourth, and even third billing. So get ready for that.
Get ready for that.
And sometimes top billing, but in my opinion, not enough. But you know that.
And the highlight of your career is going to be when two cunts in Melbourne decide to get together, call a podcast Leguizamarama, and spend it talking about Dr. Phil, one pot pasta.
And
what else
Snooki.
Did we drivel on about?
Snooki.
And what?
Snooki.
And Snooki. And vaginas on a beach. There you go, man. And
there
then I'm
go,
just going to disappear. And then I'm going to disappear in a montage, a fade out of... All right, Zach, based on Leguizamos, how many Leguizamos do you give episode 22 of season 2 of 1986 Miami Vice?
I've been given, I've consistently given really high Leguizamos, and I definitely regret some of my earlier ones, not Arabian Nights. because like I keep hitting great ones, but I also think like if it's got John Leguizamo in it, it's kind of an automatic 3 up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like that's part of the issue with the Leguizamo score.
Well, I kind of like to look at it as I go into it with a 5 Leguizamo rating before I start watching it. And then you have to do stuff for me to remove the Leguizamos, because simply by having him in it, you're worthy of 5, but if you don't utilize him properly, fuck you.
Fucking hell. You know what I mean? Mish, yeah. Can I hear yours first? You often get accused of copying, so I want you to get... Often. It happened once and then you
it
brought it up.
It happened once. It happened once.
I would love to hear yours first, because I actually haven't formed one and I'd like to copy off you, please.
Sure. So I am giving a lot of 4s. I give a lot of fours away.
Most of the fours. I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah, most solid fours. So, again, going into this with a five Leguizamo rating, I'm coming out of it with another four Leguizamo rating, and this is why.
Okay.
Because it kind of, it was the first thing he ever did. And he got a good role. And for that, I respect Miami Vice for giving the little guy a seventh billing and not a 22nd billing.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of fucking cunts in this show.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of fucking cunts. And they gave some guy fresh from acting school in New York a role in Miami Vice and a big one.
And he stepped up, didn't he?
Yeah, he stepped up. And I feel like he did a bloody great job. He was very important to this episode.
Can we say, like, we're not being patronizing to John Leguizamo, we're being patronizing to baby John Leguizamo.
Yes,
of real, course. Like, John stepped Leguizamo up, real
good,
now.
Good boy, John.
Leguizamo now, we know he's going to kill it. He's going to step in, he's going to go bam.
Like, oh, imagine if John Leguizamo now was in that episode.
Oh.
Oh.
I was thinking, I'll talk about this with my review.
So I'm going to give it four. And a lot of that four is to do with the fact that I am now mildly obsessed with Miami Vice, genuinely considering starting a podcast about Miami Vice.
Love that.
That could be a Patreon thing, to be honest.
That's a great Patreon thing.
Thanks. But yeah, no, I'm going to go with four.
That's great. That's a fantastic...
Because I respect that it launched his career. It didn't launch his career. No one gave him work based off this. But it was the first... He bloody had a shot.
No, Miami Vice was quite... Oh, yeah, because then he didn't get lots of stuff until the mid to... Yeah, early 90s. Yeah, so it was a few years after that. Look, here's what I'm going to say about how many Leguizamos I want to give it. He wasn't the lead, so I think that automatically, like, makes it not a five. The limitations of network television definitely got in the way, but they led to Small Hats, which was my favorite thing in the world. I was so surprised with how much I loved this show. I loved this show so much. I loved so much about it. I think I give it 4 3/4 Leguizamos.
Do you know how hard it is to do a 3/4 Leguizamo face on the Instagram photos?
Challenging, I imagine. Wouldn't you just cut it off at the... Are you doing like a vertical line or a horizontal line?
I'm doing it freehand because the little app that I use to edit photos doesn't allow for straight lines. You have to do it freehand.
What do you mean? You smudge it off. You smudge off.
Yeah, I have to just do it like chop a wedge out. It's not that hard. I'm not a fucking idiot.
Why don't you take a square of the color underneath it? Put
Oh, well, I don't know, Zach. Why don't you take square to kind of put it underneath? Anyway. So what did you give it? 4 3/4?
Yeah, but you can make it whatever you want for the Instagram.
No, we'll do the 4 3/4. That's fine. All right. So, guys, I'm going to read a review, which is pretty cool. Thank you so much for all your reviews. We love them. All the 5-star ones. You guys are the best. This is a review. I'm going to read one from Thea Mando. 5 stars, titled Lovers of Leguizamo.
Ooh.
I gotta say, it's really nice and reassuring to know that there are others out there like me. Others who genuinely love the work of character actor John Leguizamo to the point where they don't have to Google a cast list to see where they know that guy from.
Mm.
Others who know he's more than just Sid from Ice Age franchise. Others who no one understand the power that man holds. Thank you, Mission Zach. Now that is... lovely. And we appreciate it. And so sincere.
Yeah, I love, like, John Leguizamo.
I was reading through reviews going, like, I'll pick a review. And I started reading that one. I'm like, oh, I'm going to wait for the punchline where they're like, oh, and all you guys do is talk about one pot pasta. That was just a genuine thank you. And you know what, Thea Mando? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would say that we're making this for you, but it's not. It's because it's for Zach and I.
It's for me. I legit, as I watched Miami Vice, I was like, oh, I'm fully just doing this for me because I love that I get to watch Miami Vice right now. I love that I'm like forcing myself to watch Miami Vice. And I was like,
yeah, so great.
And then I'll shit out a podcast for some listeners, but really I'm doing this to watch Miami Vice. That's the point.
Pretty much. It's nice for me. I'm getting a break from RuPaul's Drag Race, which is all I have watched.
You have watched so much. That's how I did so RuPaul's much. Drag Race as well. I did it in, is like this single, like, burst of and then I was like, that's a lot of RuPaul. And then they made a million more and I was like, I have to slow down.
So this is your homework, everyone, for this week. Contact John Leguizamo and tell him to follow us on Instagram.
Oh, don't bully him though.
No, don't. I'm not encouraging him to bully him. I'm just saying, hey, John, have you heard about this really awesome podcast that's about you?
Okay.
Jump on board. The second piece of homework is you guys jump onto Nine Now and watch the final episode of season 2 of Miami Vice.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool.
And also jump into my DMs and let me know your favorite drag drag queen, because I'm obsessed with RuPaul right now. And if it weren't for John Leguizamo projects, I would still be watching RuPaul right now.
It's a good break. It's a good break. It's a good way to break.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it. I love Nina West. Love her.
I love Nina West as well. Can I do my three homework tasks for everyone?
Yes.
Yeah, good. So the first homework task is jump on Nine Now and watch the next episode of Miami Vice. That's the first one. The second piece of homework is just give us a like on @missionzach. And the third piece of homework is jump into my DMs and just say hello. Say hi, Zach. How are you?
I didn't have
Guys,
any Mish.
That's six homework tasks. It's like you're in bloody year 10 again.
Mish, I didn't I didn't have any homework tasks.
I know, that was embarrassing for you, Zach. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. We hope you like Miami Vice.
Bye.
Bye.
Switch it up.
Switch it off.
Turn it off. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.